Okay, today's daf is Yerushalmi Sukkah Daf Lamed, and we are in the last couple of dafim here in Maseches Sukkah. We are discussing the Simchas Beis HaShoeva and the dancing and the celebrations that took place. We are on the Oz V'Hadar, middle of Chavches Amid Aleph. So we just spoke about the language of what they used to say. In the dancing, either they said, amazing that we've been tzaddikim all our life, or amazing that we've done tshuva. And then we had the version of Hillel, right? The Bavli one is a little more well-known, Iman Ikan, Akol Kan, but there was some type of version of that, two different days here in the Gemara, that we had at the end of the shir last time. So we're up to Ben Yehud Tzadok. Ben Yehud Tzadok. So says the Gemara, Ben Yehud Tzadok hayim ishtabeach b'kvitzosav. Ben Yehud Tzadok was an amazing dancer. Literally, he was praised in his jumpings. In his jumpings, says the Karban Ha'eda, kishahayim merakeid b'simchas beis ha'shoeva, when he used to dance, hayu mishabchim oso, they used to praise him, she'ein sham mi sheyodea l'rakeid v'lekvotz kamoso. He was the best dancer, he was the best jumper. That's what he was mishtabeach b'kvitzosav. Amru olav al Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, shahayim merakeid b'shmona avuka shel zahav. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel used to juggle 8 torches of zahav. Why does it say zahav? Because it shined like gave off light like gold. And none of them touched each other. Meaning if you're juggling and they would bang into each other, that would not be a good thing if you're juggling fire. So they used to juggle ukshay kareya, and when he used to, and there's a lot of symbolism kabbalistically why 8, you know, what does 8 have to do with it? But that's beyond us. Ukshaya kareya haya noes golo ba'aretz, and when he used to go down, he used to be able to put his thumbs in the ground and somehow support his entire body with his thumbs. V'kareya umiyad o'ay niskav, and then immediately lift himself up and jump up off of his thumbs, which was considered to be something very dangerous and possible injury producing. But he used to be able to do that. He used to go down and then go back up. Why did he go down? What was this kareya? What was he bowing? So it says a Karban Ha'eda. This isn't about, they didn't hear the Shem Hashem of the Kohen Gadol. This is not Yom Kippur. Right? This is Sukkos. So what did they do? They used to be Mekayim, the Karban Ha'eda quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ki Ratzu Avadecha Es Avoneha. We're lowering ourselves and connecting ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's how the Kriya that he did. Ve'ezehu, the Gemara continues, Ve'ezehu Kriya Ve'ezehu Ibricha. The Gemara doesn't explain what these are, but it's two types of bowings. Kriya seems to be some type of full body bowing. Bricha is from the word berach, knees. So some type of bowing with the knees. But the Gemara doesn't say what exactly it is, but it just says that one seems to be a little more dangerous than the other one in terms of, vulnerable in terms of one's body. Reb Chiya Rabba, Hera Kriya Lefnei Rebbe. Reb Chiya Rabba showed how to do Kriya in front of Rebbe Venifsach, and he became injured, Venisrapa, but then he was healed. And again, that's the Mefarsha explain why, how it's, supporting all of your weight on your thumbs or some other unusual way, that could cause you to get injured. Levi Barsisi, Hera Bricha Lefne Rebbe. Rebbe Barsisi showed Bricha, Vinifsach Valonis Rapa, right? And he was, became lame, literally, and was not healed. But again, the celebrations are described. I don't know if we've read it the past couple of days or so, but this is the appropriate time to read it. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Lulav, he talks about the ultimate simcha. He generalizes this. The Rambam uses the Simchas Beis HaShoeva as a talking point to generalize simcha by mitzvos. Right? He first talks about specifically the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Afal pi, the end of Hilchos Lulav. Avo bi shakala moados mitzvah lesmach behen, b'chag ha-sukis, ha-yisra sham b'mikdash, simcha yisera. Right? Even though all the moadim, there's a mitzvah to be sameach on them, on chag ha-sukis, there was simcha yisera. Right? This is a beautiful counterpoint to the Rambam elsewhere back in Hilchas Chanukah for a second. If you look in Hilchas Chanukah, the Rambam discusses Hallel. We know the Rambam chooses to put all of Hilchas Hallel into Hilchos Chanukah, and that's where the Rambam discusses why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. When it's Hallel Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, says the Rambam, Gimel Zvav. Av Rosh Hashanah v'Kippurim, Eim Bo'em Hallel Afishem Yimei Tshuva V'Yira Ufachad. They're days of awe and trepidation. Lo Yimei Simcha Yisera. So we've gone from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to 2 weeks later to Sukkos. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you don't say full Hallel because you don't say Hallel at all because Ein Bam Simcha Yisera. And now the Rambam uses the exact same Lashon 2 weeks later on Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkos, right? Even less than 2 weeks later. It's Simchas Shoevim. But a week later, says the Rambam, there is Simcha Yisera on Sukkos. Shenemar Usmachtem Lefei Hashem Alkeichem Shivas Yamim. Ketzad HaYaosin, and what they used to do. Erev Yantif Harishon, Yimisakne Bemikdash. Erev Yantif Harishon. Right, not just, remember we learned in the previous mission, the Tikkun Gadol that they made, the big balcony for the women. So Rambam says he used to do that on Erev Yantif. Meaning it wasn't permanent. It wasn't a permanent balcony that was there all year, just for Sukkos. The party started, Motsoi, the first day of Sukkos. Every day of Chol HaMoed, as we saw last time, they didn't sleep. Maschilin. Me'achar she'yakbivu Tomash HaBen Arbayim, l'smoach shara yom im kol halayla. Right after the Tomash HaBen Arbayim, the start party started. V'heichai sa'simcha zu, what was this simcha? The Rambam describes. Ha'chalil makeh, u'menagnin bekinor, u'menevalim, u'memsaltayim, all the different musical instruments. V'kol echad v'echad b'kli shir, shu yodeh l'nagin bo. Everybody picked the instrument that they knew how to play. U'misha yodeh b'peh, b'peh. Whoever didn't know how to play an instrument, but you're a good singer, you sing Viroktin, Umesapkin, Umetapkin. Right? They used to dance and bang their clap and bang their feet. Umefazazin, Umecharkarin. Right? This is a lesson from David HaMelech, which Bezer will talk about in a minute. Right? They used to go like shake Kalechad Ve'echad Kemoshe Yodea Ve'omrim De Veshivas Hishbachos, but not in a holiness type of way. Right? During this time, singing praise to Hashem. The Simcha Zu, and then the Rambam adds, Eina Docha Lo Shabbos Lo Yontif. This Simcha is not Docha Shabbos Yontif, which we said last time, that's Mashma. Not only was the Nisach HaMayim not Docha Shabbos, but the whole party. They didn't have the party when it was Shabbos. It was Yimei Chol HaMoed without Shabbos. And then the Rambam says, Mitzvah Laharbos B'Simcha Zu. It's a mitzvah to be Marbe. V'lo Ayo'osin Amei Ha'aretz V'chol Misha Yirtzeh. Ella, as we just saw in our Gemara, Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, V'Rashi HaYeshivas, V'Asanhedrin, V'Chasidim, V'Zakenim, V'Anshei Maisa, Heim Shayim Arakdin, U'Mesapkin, U'Menagdin, U'Mesamchin, B'Mikdash, B'Mechag HaSukkos. Lots of verbs. Aval Kol Ha'amba, Anashim, Anashim, Kulan, Ba'im, L'Ros V'Lishmoa. The Rambam says it was only the Gedolei Olam, only the leaders that were dancing, everyone else was looking. And then the Rambam ends off, Hilchas Lulav, generalizing. Hasimcha sheyisbach adam basiyas hakel uba'avas hakel shetziva bahen. That's an important double lashon. The simcha that one has by doing a mitzvah and recognizing the love of the one who commanded the mitzvah. Both of those, right? Basiyas hamitzvah uba'avas hakel avoda gedolahi. It's a great avoda to do this. V'chol amoneya atzmo v'simcha zu royal hi para mimenu. Right, based on the pasuk in the Kisavo. Let's just read this pasuk because it's going to come up in the Gemara in a second. V'chala mashpil atzmo u'mekel gufo b'mekomos elu. If anybody lowers themselves and makes light of his own kavod, u'mekel gufo b'mekomos elu hu agadol v'hamechubad ha'oved me'ava. You think it's being mashpil? No, that's v'chein David Melach Yisrael Amar. David, as if we don't know who David was. He doesn't even say David HaMelech. David, Melech Yisrael. Amar v'dekalos yom yizoz v'yisi shavu b'inai. V'in ha'gdula v'akavad el esmoch v'dei Hashem. Shnemar v'hamelech David mifazez u'mecharker l'fnei Hashem. That's the Rambam, the end of Hilchos Lulav. So here we go. In our Gemara, we spoke about these gedolim, these great Tanaim that used to dance in those ways. So now, once we're on that topic, we talk about David HaMelech. That's where the Rambam gets it from also, a few times. Ksif, Vayashav David, remember this scene, David HaMelech brings the Aron back to the Yerushalayim. Right, first he tried to bring it the first time and it didn't work out so well with Peretz Uzzah and the Haftorah of Shmini, I think. And then he tried again after he got a simon that everybody started having a lot of babies. And he brought it back to Yerushalayim, and he was dancing, and he was going crazy in front of the Aron. He was being mefazez u'mecharker, as the pasuk describes. That's where the Rambam gets those verbs from. And he comes home, and he comes back home, and he's exhausted, and he falls onto his couch and says, wow, what a day. And his wife, the daughter of Shaul, makes a comment that she is not impressed. Vayashav David l'vareches beso, he comes home. Vateitze michal bas Shaul likraso, or likras David. Michal goes out. What's the end of that pasuk? What does she say today? Sarcasm in the Navi. Manichbar hayom melech Yisrael. How honored, what an amazing day today is, that the king of Israel, asher nigla hayom le'enei amhos, right, that he revealed himself in front of the maidservants, avadav, kihi galos niglos achar harekin, like one of the empty ones, right, that you revealed, you rolled up your sleeves, everybody saw you sweating, and they saw your arms. Oy, how could that be? And she says, in the preview, let's keep reading for a second. Mahu ach echad harekim. What does it mean that you're like one of the empty ones? Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kana, harekim shebarekim. The emptiest of the empty ones. Ze ar kistis. What's ar kistis? Some say it means like these dancers that used to reveal themselves sometimes. Right? It means the top rake guy. The most empty person. What does it mean? But the Mepharshim say, right, the Rav Chaikadievsky, sar halistim. He's like a super Ben Drusai. I don't know. But Arich says, the dancers, Amra Hayom. And now she says, this is the conversation that's put in into the text, Nigla Kvod Beis Abba, right? My father's covet has been revealed. Amru Alav Al Beis Shaul. What does it mean? We don't know. Nothing was said. We just know David HaMelech's response to her after this. He said, I'm the king, not your father. So the Yalkut, and here, the Psukim describe, I think I brought the Yalkut here, that this, let's just read the Gemara and then I'll read the Yalkut. Hadahu dechsiv, so Amru Alav al Beishol, Shlo Nire Mehem Lo Akiv Lo Godo Bimehem. Shaul HaMelech was always very proper. He was always, he didn't, reveal himself and lose his formality in front of the Am. And that's what Michal said to David. My father would never have done that. And David was like, exactly right. He cared too much about what other people thought and didn't do what he thought was dafko, the appropriate thing to do. Hadu dechsiv, but there is a tzad, something positive about Shaul HaMelech about this, his tznias, as the Gemara just keeps describing. Hadu dechsiv ayavol gidros hatzon al haderech visham me'ara. And they remember when David HaMelech was running away from Shaul, and Shaul was chasing him. And there was a cave, and Shaul went to the bathroom in the cave. David had a chance to kill him, and he didn't. So what happened there in the cave? Rabbi Avun b'shem Rabbi Lazar, gedol ofnimi gedor haya. Shaul HaMelech looked for a very, very private area to go to the bathroom, because he was very tsanua. Vayavo Shaul ha'sichas raglav. Shaul HaMelech started going to the bathroom. V'havi chamilei, and David saw, take out that vav, mishul shal tzivchad, u'masalik tzivchad. He used to reveal himself a little bit and cover himself a little bit. Mishul sal tzivchad, amis like tzivchad. Right? He was very tsanua, even in the bathroom by himself. Amar David, so David thinks to himself, Heich min ga bahadin gufa letzadikaya. People are telling me to kill Shaul, right? As self-defense. How could I kill this kadosh? This kadosh, right? This, he sees how holy he is. How did he do? Amar lei, right? Gufa adidus. How do I do that? So Amar lei, hinei, hay, and this is what, he says to him afterwards, this is what David says to Shaul, I could have killed you. I could have killed you today. But, and other people told me to kill you, but I couldn't touch the Mashiach Hashem. It doesn't say that I had pity and protected you. That means it protected you. What's the it? It's your tznius. What does that mean? The Karbat Eda here says, what do you mean? David HaMelech, if you look in the Psukim, what did David say to Shaul? I didn't kill you because you're the Mashiach Hashem. What does he mean? I didn't kill you because of your tznius. So just being the Mashiach Hashem might not have been enough because you're a Rodef. And I needed to protect myself. But once I saw that you also had these midos about you, then I couldn't touch you. I figured HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on your side. That's what the Karbon Eda says and others. V'yavagav diyav taima ki Mashiach Hashem, yilav tzniusa dechazibe, without the tznius that he would have seen in him, lo havi mishkach bahai derodef have. He wouldn't have listened because it was a rodef. Okay? So what happens? So Shaul HaMelech, Michal Bas Shaul is very upset that her husband comes home and, revealed himself. He was dancing in front of the Aron. He was doing L'Shem Shemayim. And what happens? I'll read the Yalkut. The Yalkut there in Shmuel often adds in conversation pieces that weren't in the text. So what does she say? Amra lo, mishifchaso, mishpachto shal beis abba haisa na'emimcha. Chalila lahem shenira meimayan pisas yadu pisas regal veigav megulin. Elakulam hayu mechubadim imcha. Right? My father's family was more honorable than yours. And what does David answer? But I'm the king. Remember, not your father. Your father lost it. Now we read our Gemara. Vayomer David al micha lefnei Hashem asher bachar bimi avicha. I'm chosen. I'm chosen. And I'm chosen more than your father. Unakalosi on mizos vayisi shafel beinai. As the pasuk the Rambam quotes, I would have done even more for Hashem. Vim ha amahos asher amart imam I kaveda. And with the maidservants in front of them, I find honor by acting like this in front of Hashem. And we read it, she'ein amahos ela imahos, right? You could translate it as not amos, like imahos, right? That's like the Karbonator says, like a son in front of a mother. It's not embarrassed, but I'm doing what I need to do. Stop there for a minute. The Rishonim already are bothered, right? David HaMelech gives this little, I wouldn't call it a shtach, but I don't know, there's no English word to translate that. But there's he gives a response to Michal. Michal, who says, you know, my father would never have done this, and that's exactly the point. What's the secret conversation there going on there? So it's based on a question that the Mefarshim wonder, right? And already based on Chazal, that Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech both had sins. Neither of them were perfect. And yet, Shaul's sins cost him the Malchus. Well, David's didn't. David did sins. David, the whole Sefer Shmuel Beis, some suggest, was a punishment for David's sins. Avshalom and Amnon and all the terrible things. So why didn't David lose the Malchus while Shaul did? So explains the Sefer HaIkarim in Maamar Ravi and Perech Chavav, because David's sins were personal. We're all, I put it as we. I mean, obviously David HaMelech is very different than David's sins are different than our sins, but everybody sins. Everybody does personal sins and we have taivas, whatever it is. But you don't lose the Malchus for that. Shaul HaMelech lost the Malchus because his sins were related to being a Melech. Right? His sins throughout by Givon and by Amalek, they were all about not being an appropriate and responsible king. Why? Because all the sins were about, Shaul cared a lot about the Am. And he was focused on the Am. And remember when he says finally, Amalek, why didn't you get Amalek? Because the Am wanted to bring Karbanos. The Am made me do it. By when he was waiting for Shmuel to bring the Karbanos after a week. He didn't wait for a week. Why? He was waiting for Shmuel to come back today. But the Am started dispersing and he wanted to give the Karbanos before they left. The Am, the Am, the Am. And David HaMelech says, no, a king's got to rule over the Am. Right? And you got to do what you have to teach the Am and be mashpi on the Am and not be mushpa. Right? That's exactly this story, the conversation that's going on. And we mentioned in the past the amazing line of the Shemi Shmuel. The Shemi Shmuel quotes from his grandfather, the Kotzker, Shvuis, Tuf Reish Ayin. He says, Inyan Malucha Lohaya Nimsa Bi Yisrael, Vayutzrichen Likachzos Me Amunu Moav. Whoa. Right? Being a, he's answering the question of why David HaMelech needed some Moabite blood in him, right? Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moav v'lo Moavis, Rus had to be his great-great-grandmother, right? That was appropriate for the Melech Yisrael? Yeah, because to be an appropriate king, you have to have a little gaiva to rule over. It's not a natural thing to rule over fellow Jews. But as to be a Melech, to be an accessible Melech, that was David, that was Malchus based David. Okay. So but David HaMelech was dancing his heart out in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Continuing, what was the punishment of Michal? Michal Bashal, Lohayala Valad, Adya Mosa. No children until the day he died, until the day she died. Is that really true? She didn't have kids. Vaksiv, it says, Hashishi Yisra'am. Often in Divrei HaYamim, people have fake names. They have names that are just cover up real names. So, Shishi Yisra'am, the sixth child of David, was Yisra'am, Le'egla Ishto. Is Yisra'am to Egla, his wife. Egla was a nickname for Michal. I don't think anyone nowadays would want to be called Egla, my little calf. But Egla, so you see, so Michal had a child, Yisra'am. So the Gemara answers, no. Sh'go'as ke'egla, it means she didn't have a kid until the day she died. But the day she died, she did have a child, right? Meaning she cried out like a calf when she was having the baby of Emesa. So that's the pasuk. Until the day she died, she didn't have a child. On the day she died, she had a child. If you look in the Bavli, in Sanhedrin, there's a different answer given. The Bavli gives an answer. She had a lot of children until this moment. It means after this moment, from this story, after that, so that's when, until the day she died, she didn't have any more children. But she did have before that. Period. Says the Mishnah. Amdu shnei kohanim. Now we'll get into the the process and the ceremony of the Nisach HaMayim. Amdu shnei kohanim b'shar ha'elyon. Two kohanim stood on the Shar ha'elyon. The Shar ha'elyon was the gate on the top of the steps going down from the Azara to the Ezras Nashim. That was also called Shar Nikanor. Shar ha'elyon ha'yori mi'ezras yol Ezras Nashim. U'shnei chatzosos bi'adam. They had trumpets in their hands. Kara ha'gever. The gever called out. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. Taku v'ariyah v'taku. When they heard the gever call out, they blew shofar. Taku v'ariyah v'taku. Higila ma'la asiris. They came to the 10th step. From the top or from the bottom? Gemara has that question without an answer. Taku v'ariyah v'taku. They blew shofar again. Higila azara. They come to the floor of the Ezras Nashim. Taku v'ariyah v'taku. How you talking about hochan hashem higil l'shara yotze? This is when they were going out to get the water. They blew shofar again and again until they shem higil l'shara yotze l'mizrach. Until they come to the eastern gate. Remember, they're going from the Ezras Yisrael down the 15 steps to the Ezras Nashim. Then they're going east. They're going out east. Higielashar Hayoslam Israq. They come to the gate, the eastern gate, Vahavchu Panein Lamayrav, and they turn around. Everybody turns around to the west to face back the Kodesh to face this Kodesh Kodashim. Amar, and they said, this lashon is based on a pasuk in Yechezkel. Avoseinu Hayu B'Makam Azeh. Our forefathers were in this spot. Achoreim El Heichal Hashem, and they had their backs to Hashem. Ufneim Kedma, and they had their faces east. Vehem Mishtachvim Kedma L'Shemesh, and they used to bow down to the sun. V'Anu L'Hashem Einenu. So we turn around to make sure, Hashem, we're going out to the east, but we don't have our back to you. They turn around and they said to Hashem, are our eyes, or Behuda Omer, they say it twice, Shonin Oso, Lomar, Anu Lashem, Ulashem Einenu. We are to Hashem and our eyes are to Hashem. What does the double Lashem mean? You look in the Pnei Moshe, Anu Lashem, Anachnu Mishtachavim, Umodim Al Masha Avar, Anu Lashem, we thank him for the past, so it's about the past and it's about the future. That's the Pnei Moshe. Good. We talk about the Avodah Zarah and to the sun. Remember the Rambam says that was the beginning. The beginnings of Avodah Zarah was only half of Avodah Zarah. But then they forgot. Right? The Rambam talks about the beginning of Avodah Zarah Chavim in the Bimei Enosh, Ta'u B'nei Ha'adam, Ta'u Gedola. Remember the beginning of the days of Enosh, that was pretty early on in world history. They made a big mistake. V'nivara atzas chachme oso adar. The Enosh atzmo menatoim. Enosh was one of them. V'zui ta'usam. They said, well, if Hashem created all of these amazing, creations, shouldn't we give them kavod? Right? The sun and the moon and the stars, they're unbelievable. Hashem created these amazing things. Wouldn't he want that we give them honor? That's why the people started giving honor to the sun and the moon and the stars. And eventually, they forgot, obviously, the Bore, and they just thought the Nivra was the Bore. Hashem gave them kavod. They serve him. Isn't it appropriate to give them kavod? Right? If the king gives somebody honor, shouldn't you give that person, that being honor? So they thought this is what Hashem would want. Kamo shamelech rotze lechabed avadav v'homdim lefanav. V'zeo kvodo shamelech. So they started building temples and mizbeachs and amazing things. All still thinking about Hashem. Kedei lahasig ratzon habore b'dayta mara. V'zu yikar avodah zarah. And again, obviously, eventually, they forgot who they were building to. And they started just worshiping, obviously, the avodah zarah. And forgetting about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is how the things went all the way from the days of Enosh and the whole world was involved. Nobody knew anything. The world was going down, down, down. Ad shenolad amudo shel olam shehu Avraham Avinu. Until Avraham Avinu stopped it. He stopped it. Sounds like this is like a snowball. A snowball is huge. Stopped it. And once he came, boom. He didn't have a teacher. He didn't have anybody. He was Mushkab or Kazdim amongst the Ovdei Avodah Zarah HaTipshim. And he was also an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And he started thinking. Started thinking and realizing there must be something beyond. Okay, that's when he continues. He's, the spiritual parade as he talks about. Tergim Rav, back to the Gemara. So our Mishnah said, Kara Gever. They started blowing shofar when the gever called out. So gever can really mean two things. Gever can mean a person, gavra, or gever can mean a rooster, right? So that's the different, it says kara gever three or four times, I think four times in Mishnayos. So tirgim rav kumi, debase rabbi sheila, kara gavra. Rav said in front of Rabbi Sheila means when the person, when the crier called out, achriz kruza. When the crier called out in the morning, so that's when they started blowing shofar to do the nisuch, to do the nisuch hamayim. It's kara gavra. The Karbonada says, shedarko lahachriz b'chol yom, imdu kohanim avodaschem, as is described in Mishnayos Tamid. When the crier called out at the beginning of the day. Amrin le, so the base Rabbi Sheila said to Rav, no. Karatanagola. No, it means when the rooster called out. Must be earlier. Amar Alon, he says to them, but what do you mean? Vatanina ben Gever. Remember we had in Mishnayos and Shkalim, we had the 15 people who were appointed over certain tasks. We had 2 days in the Gemara there. Were these the best in their jobs from all the generations? That's what I mentioned. Or this was just the name of the position. Or this was just the name of the people who did it at the time when the author of the Mishnah wrote it down. But you see, ben Gever is a person's name. So Islacha Memar Bar Tanagolt Bar Tanagola, right? You're going to say that was his name, the son of a rooster, right? No, it was a gavra, son of a person. So Machlokes, what our Mishnah is referring to, it must be Gever according to Rav. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Boi, Mishnah said 10th step. Asiris Milamalon, Asiris Milamaton, 10th from there were 15. So is it 10 from on top or 10 from below? No answer. Amar b'chia barba, the hema mishtachavim, the language that's used in the pasuk or even in the Mishnah here, the hema mishtachavim in Ksivkan. When it says they went out and they say our forefathers bowed down to the east, it doesn't say they bowed down mishtachavim. Ela the hema mishtachavisem. That is a combination of two different words, explained the Mefarshim. Mishtachavisem means mishtachave, bow down, but also mashchisim, acting in a destructive, disgusting way. That's the word of mishtachavisem. So in mishtachavim lachama, they bow down to the sun, switch this word, umashchisim lehechal. And they acted in a destructive, disgusting way to the hechal. They bowed to the east, and they did something disgusting to the west. What does that mean? What they do? So according to many of the Farshim, it means that they relieved themselves, right? They were facing east and they went west, right? Even we learned earlier in this Masechta, or even in Yuma, when they positioned the animal, the cow, right? They would put the cow north-south, right? The power of Yom Kippur, not east-west, because Chas V'Shalom, would it be not appropriate if the animal would relieve itself facing east-west, right? So even the animal we were worried about, right? Facing north-south, and the head was facing east. But here, this is what these people did. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kana, Kishtayim Ra'os Asu Imi. Right, the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Hashem is going to bring the Churban because two sins my Am did to me. V'chishtayim Ra'os Asu Imi, only two? We only did two Averis? Havatra La'elef. What, he was Mevatar on 1,000 Averis? The Churban wasn't because of two sins. What, he was Mevatar on 1,000? Ela Shahayu Mishtachavim L'chamu Mishtachavim L'hechal. No, the two, obviously they did a ton. But it means in this specific act, there were two sins that were done. So one of the Mefarshim in the back, the Kavod Chachamim says, 1,000? There's only 613 mitzvahs. How can it be 1,000? No, every one might have been done many times. Avodah Zarah can be done 20 times. And Shabbos, there are 39 malachas and 39 toldos of every Av. Okay, period. Says the Mishnah, once we mentioned that we blew shofar during this ceremony, so let's talk about the shofaris in the Mikdash. There was at least every day in the base of Megillah, there was at least 21 tkiyas, v'lamos even arba mishmona, 21 and 48. Between that, b'chol yom ha'yusha mesher me'achas tkiyas, every day there was 21, on a regular, plain, regular day. How? Shalosh al-pzik ha'sha'arim, 3 to open the gates in the morning, teish l'tamid shal shachar, 9 during the morning tamid, v'teish l'tamid shal ben abayim, that's 18, right? That's 21, 3, 9, and 9. That's every day. Ula musafin, whenever you have a carbon musaf, b'os even o'teisha, then you add on another 9. Erev Shabbos, most even owed sheish. And on Erev Shabbos, you add on to the 6. Why? Shalosh lahaftir sa'am min ha'malacha. 3, to tell people to stop working. Right? Get out of the fields, go home. Shalosh lahaftil ben kodesh l'chol. And 3, to say, oh, it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos. The big discussion in the poskim. Yeah, so was this the second when Shabbos started? The Bavli talks about this in Bava Malikin. What'd they do with the shofar right after they blew? Was it Shabbos? They had to drop it? Were they allowed to walk with it to put it down somewhere? This is one of the important sources about if you have muksa in your hand, could you take it wherever you want it, or you have to drop it right then. Period. Erev Shabbos, Shabbos Chag. When it was Friday on Sukkot, that was the most. Hayusham Arba Mishmona. Because we just learned Friday has an extra six, and Sukkot has extra with Nisach HaMayim. Shalosh L'Psich HaSharim. This is Friday on Sukkot. Shalosh L'Psich HaSharim. Three to open the gate. Shalosh L'Shara Tachton. Right? As we just described in the previous Mishnah. Right? You have all these extra blowings. Shalosh L'Mili HaMayim. Shalosh while they're filling. Shalosh Agavi HaMizbeach. That's for the Arava. Teish al davar shel shachar. Teish al davar shel rabayim. Teish al musafin. Shalosh lahavtil samin amalacha. V'shalosh lahavtil bein kodesh l'chol. So that's 48 altogether. All the Friday on Sukkot has the most blowings out of anyone. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. The Mishnah says between 21 and 48. There's a brisa that says between 7 and 16. Tani ein pachas b'sheva v'lo yosu al sheish esrei. Is there a machlokas here? The Gemara says no. How do you, when you say tekiya trua tekiya, they always blew tekiya, is that three or is that one? That's the difference. Right? Our hahein tanya of a tekiya trua tekiya chada. That tana that we just quoted in the Braisa thinks of that as one. That's why it calculates it as 7 and 16. Vahein tanya our mishnah of it kochad vachada minon chada holds that, no, those are all separate, and therefore, you look at it each as one, one, one. And this also has another nafkamina in the midbar when they used to blow shofaros. Right, to get the to get everybody to start walking, Vayibid Soha Aron, they used to blow shofar, the psukim in Baloscha described, they blew shofar. They blew three to each direction. So there's three shvatim in each direction, and there's three. So did they blow one per shevet, and then one, they blew tkiya, and the first shevet went. They blew trua, the second shevet went. The third one, meaning, is each sound significant by itself, or no, it's only a package. So that's another machloka. So according to our Mishnah, that each one is significant, you could blow one shevet, one shevet, one shevet. If you say it's a package, like the Braisa, you'd blow all three, and then all the shvatim would go. So that's what the Mishnah Gemara says now. Shetim salomar shalosh al kol mate umate. There's three, right, for each and every one. Each side, again, gets a tarat. So according to our Mishnah, every shevet would get one. Rabbi Yehuda omer, shalosh al kol degel v'degel. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, shalosh for each degel means, Rashi says, degel means direction, not flag. So three for every direction. So you blow three, it's called tkiya, and then everybody of the Shevet will go. Okay, we'll stop there. By Vitani, Hashem, we will continue next time.